Who belongs on the Yakima Reservation in central Washington? Yakima tribal members there are now outnumbered 3-1 by Latino immigrants. Maria Hinojosa, the host of Latino USA, says the increasing number of Mexican farm workers there is pushing the tribe toward an existential crisis.
I mean, for me, one of the things I clarified this was one of the tribe's members who was saying, you know, our language is in jeopardy right now. We are losing our language. And then he says, but, you know, now with Latinos on the reservation and off the reservation, we've seen how Latinos have asked for things to be written in Spanish, Spanish ballots, Spanish commercials, Spanish, etc. And he said, you know, we wish that we would have had the opportunity for our language to be pushed in that way, to have equal treatment. But what was happening on the Yakima Reservation is that people were taken out of their homes and sent to boarding schools precisely so that they would lose the language. That's a perfect way for me to kind of understand the tension. Like, now Mexicanos and Mexican Americans and Latinos on our reservation are getting the special treatment by having Spanish. Where was the special treatment for us when we were trying to protect our language?
Here's one Yakima tribal member who you interviewed for this Latino USA story, Matt Tomaskin.
You know, I have nieces and nephews that, you know, their dad is from Mexico. And I love them. I love them to death. But yet what happens is their blood is diluted.
Their blood is diluted. Who is Matt Tomaskin and what is he getting at here, Maria?
So he's a legislative liaison for the tribal government. He is not yet an elder, according to him, but he is a person of influence in the tribe. And he is worried about the future because, you know, one of the things that we uncovered, which is, it's not a new concept, it's been around, but it's not talked about a lot, which is the idea of blood quantum. And what it means is a level of specificity in terms of measuring your Yakima blood that allows you to be a member of the tribe and to have the benefits that come from being associated with the tribe. So for the Yakima people, you have to have a quarter of your blood, or 25% in the blood quantum, must be full Yakima blood in order for you to be a member of the tribe. So with every tribe member who marries outside of the Yakima people, their blood quantum is decreasing. It really does place a lot of questions about the precariousness of the future of the tribe if everybody is being measured literally down to a percentage point of blood quantum. And again, you have to remember that there's 11,000 members, more or less, of the Yakima people. A lot of those people are also related. So, you know, beyond falling in love with whoever you want to fall in love with, it really poses a very difficult situation for how you're going to have continued access to being an enrolled member of the tribe if you have less and less of the blood quantum that can be measured to meet a quarter Yakima blood. It's really complicated.
What does that mean for the future of a tribe if the children of tribal members are not officially part of the tribe?
Remember also that this is something, the blood quantum really was established by the federal government. It was not established by the tribal government. So, yeah, this is exactly what it looks like. You know, we talk a lot about divided families in our work in terms of parents who have been separated from their children through deportation, let's say. Now I'm thinking about divided families who are living on a Native American reservation where the divide is going to be a father who can be enrolled in the tribe, but a son or daughter who cannot. In terms of a possible solution for this is to talk not so much about the blood quantum measurement, but rather identity and citizenship in a tribe. I mean, I really look at the Native American population, the First Peoples, as our founding fathers and our founding mothers. And yet, as a nation, we may give lip service to that, but we don't really understand the complexity of what that looks like. And for the Yakima people, you know, with this blood quantum through, you know, the federal government, it does mean that the tribe could, and I don't want to be alarmist here, but they could disappear. And that, for who we are as a country, is extremely worrisome.
How does this fit into the tension that we've had for so long, and especially lately, about immigration and identity in this country?
we didn't hear anyone on the reservation actually out and out saying that they would vote for Donald Trump. But we did hear kind of like, well, you know, he is talking about keeping people out, and we understand that. So that was strange. I think that just goes to show how complicated things are. And when you don't talk and, in my view, report on the complexities, then it creates a void where very simplistic statements are made or proposed that really don't understand the nuance of what we're talking about. Like in the response to Donald Trump in regards to, you know, well, let's just deport everyone. The truth is that the Mexicano and the Mexican-American people on the Yakima Reservation call it home. It is their home. And they are not going to up and leave. They love this place. Mexicano reality and Mexican-American dynamics are part and parcel also of this reservation. You can't put a border up around that. You can't put a border up around who you're going to fall in love with. So this is a dynamic that is real. It's not going to change. So there are people on the reservation who are actively trying to build the bridges because they see de que no se van a ninguna parte. No one's really going anywhere fast.
Maria Hinojosa is the host of NPR's Latino USA, and the latest episode is all about preserving tribal identity on the Yakima Indian Reservation. You can hear that full episode tonight at 11 o'clock on KUOW. You can also get the podcast at latinousa.org.